This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's time to raise a game. Andrew Cha from Idea Mart is here again, and it's our discussion on business networking. And before we get into today's topic, perhaps a quick recap of our discussion last week.
Oh, yes. Last week, we talked about a few things to prepare for networking. Number one is decide where you should network. Number two is to make a decision on how often you should network. Number three, treat business networking as one of your appointments. Always do a RSVP and lock it down on your diary. Last but not least, it's actually to prepare a lot of open questions so that your mind don't go blank when you are in a networking session. So that was the recap for last week.
Okay, and I know it was around PMET, and P was preparation, which was last week, and this week we're discussing manners, right? So, yes. You know, what do you do upon reaching the networking destination, as you call it? And how do manners come in?
The first thing you need to do when you go to networking session is, if you have time to maybe catch your breath, go to the washroom, make sure that you look your best, then you go into the networking venue. If you go with a partner, always remember to split up, because you do not want to be seen as going there as a clique.
Uh-huh. So
the first thing that we need to bear in mind is very important. And upon reaching the entrance, how to really, really make a proper entrance really is to stand at the door, scan the room, and notice the energy in the crowd. Sometimes it makes a difference as to help you to identify the person that you need to talk to first. Because in a crowd like this, maybe 30 to 40 people, you only have time to talk to maybe half of them.
Mm-hmm.
So observe the energy of the group and decide where you should start. So if you want to go from left to right to left, it doesn't matter. It's up to you.
And that's where, if you come with your friend, you go left and the other person go right.
Yes, and actually, it'll be good if you have a team and you can try to split the group into half, or if you talk to the same person, you can always exchange notes with the same person. Now, in some networking sessions, you'll find that people sit down, and I discourage sitting down because it makes you less mobile. But if you ever see someone sitting alone, that is probably the best person you should approach first.
Oh.
Because the person is probably very nervous. Always be the first one to offer a handshake, a very, very good handshake. You know, sometimes when I shake hands with people, that's the first point of contact, right? And the way you shake your hand really tells you a lot about yourself, more than your name card do, actually, sometimes.
Mm. Mm. Now, how should you conduct yourself with strangers you've met for the first time? And of course, you know, this could be the guy, the lonely person sitting by himself.
Number one is to observe their body language. Are they open? You know, if they're having their food and they are very busy, they seem very hungry, that is usually not the best time to go and talk to someone. If this is a cocktail party and you are a right-hander, you like to shake hands with your right hand, always hold your glass on the left so that you're ever ready for a handshake. So I think for some of the guys, we like to put all our name cards in one pocket and make sure that when you collect name cards, you put into the other pocket.
Okay.
There are times that I have met people, they actually give out somebody's card instead, maybe because they are very nervous.
I see.
Sometimes by giving out a wrong name card, you're actually giving yourself away. I like to go back to the point about handshake. You know, when you're too weak in shaking a hand, you tend to give people the feeling that you're very feeble, that you are a very laid-back person,
mm-hmm.
not very confident. So it discredits a lot of things you say in a networking session itself. So that's something that we need to take note of. Be proactive. Always be the first one to look at them in the eye and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, how are you?" Now, always have this host mentality, because when you have a host mentality, you will begin to take control and introduce others to other people. So you will be so confident that people thought that you're one of the organizers of the networking itself and not just another guest that happens to be here. Yep. So these are some of the things we take note of when we're dealing with strangers in the networking.
Now, if you meet people you already know at these functions, how do you leverage on the situation?
When you meet someone you already know, it's always a good time to catch up and to do old follow-up. But there's one very, very important key element of people that you already know. Now, imagine just now I said, have a host mentality. If you can introduce friends you already know to strangers, you actually open up new conversation. You will create what we call a three-way conversation. So it's good because some people feel very intimidated being talked to by just one individual. They prefer a small group chat. So for people who do not know what to do, knowing a friend you already know and trying to introduce him or her to someone new is a great way to start a conversation. And it is also good that when you meet someone you already know for some time, when you want to do some referral check at that venue itself about somebody you just talked to, that is probably a good source as well because you have someone you already know quite well.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now, the problem with meeting people we already know is that sometimes we tend to be overly casual. We take phone calls while we are in the networking session itself. That is, again, not something that you should do. When you have a phone call, try to leave the room and take that call and then come back here again. Yeah, so that's so much so for meeting people you already know in a networking session.
And I know you might probably address this a little later. I guess also in these sort of situations where alcohol is served, do not drink too much.
Mm. Yes, do not drink too much, but sometimes it's good not to drink at all. It's always good to mirror the overall mood of the party. Now, some parties are meant to be a drinking networking.
Oh, yay.
You know, yes, especially, I'm not sure about Malaysia, but in Singapore, there are some parties that are 70-80% filled with expats. And I said last week, they come smelling very good with clothes and no pocket. They're clearly not here to exchange name cards. So there are some parties that are, they are purely drinking, but there are also some parties that are wine appreciation. They are just product launch. Alcohol is served, but that is just to help you to loosen up a little bit. The rule of thumb is that never drink more than you can handle, because sometimes you do not know that you're feeling high, and sometimes you talk a little bit too loudly. Sometimes you talk a little bit too much.
Okay.
And sometimes in so doing, you reveal a lot of information that you wouldn't want to reveal at the first time. So
okay.
It's very interesting.
Okay. Handling people who talk too much. What do we do? We'll discuss that in just a moment with Andrew Cha from Idea Mart. This is Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. This is Race Your Game on Enterprise. We're discussing business networking here with Andrew Cha from Idea Mart. And we're going through the manners aspect of business networking. And earlier on, we were discussing about what to do, you know, introducing if you already meet people, strangers and people you already know. And there's also that danger when we meet people who, well, I call it a danger, people who talk too much. But how do you handle people who just goes on and on and on?
Okay. I think the simpler thing to do and to manage is to talk to someone who talks too little. You can always ask open questions, leading questions, so that you open up that particular person. Now, what if the person talks too much? Now, how too much is too much is when a person keeps talking to you for 10, 20 minutes without stopping. There are some people who are so deprived of audience that the minute when they have someone interesting to talk to, they will just go on and on without them knowing. Now, get this. If you have 2 to 3 hours to know 20 people, I think at the very most, you have 5 minutes with each person. So if the person talks for 20 minutes and you want to disengage politely, that's the word, disengage politely, You can start doing it on purpose to look around the room for someone you already know and make an excuse to disengage and talk to the other person. Now, if you find that rude, you can always do this. You can always suggest to the person that you do not want to take up too much of his time and you want to introduce him to someone else. Now, introduce him to someone you already know, it's a very good way to disengage because I usually do this. When I introduce someone who talks too much to my friend, the minute when I introduce them, that is the moment precisely you have to disengage. You disappear.
Oh.
Okay? So you got to disappear so subtly that people do not know that you actually have disappeared. But that is a good way. Introduce the person who talks too much to someone else. It's a good way to disengage. And you can always excuse yourself to the washroom. That is always the best way. Or to give another excuse that you have to take a call. So there are many ways, and I think this is good. You have to rehearse, and sometimes you have to think about all sorts of excuses to disengage yourself before you go for networking.
Okay, so it's not nice to say, hey, you know, I've just seen an old friend there. Excuse me for a while. So it's better to introduce that person to this person.
That's right.
It's so a better thing.
The meeting when they start shaking hands and calling out each other's name, that's the best time to disappear, actually.
Okay, I like that. Disengage politely.
Disengage politely,
yeah,
yes.
Because yeah. Some people are, I'm just going to quote you, deprived of an audience. Now,
deprived of an audience.
Right. How can knowing body language also help in business networking?
There are a lot of people who come for networking for different reasons. Some come here to sell. Some come to size up competition. Some come for R&D, research and development. Some come just simply because they have nothing else to do for the night itself. Now, but for whatever reasons, I think sometimes by looking at where your feet is pointing, sometimes you'll notice that even though the person may not show any physical expression that he's in a hurry, but where the feet is pointing, let's say when the feet is pointing towards the entrance, this person is actually ready to make a move.
Oh.
All right, and even though the body may be facing you, but he's subtly telling you that I need to go, and I need to end it up really, really quick. So that's one. The second type of body language is very obvious. When you notice that there's no more eye contact and this person's eyes is roaming around behind you, let me say, try to look behind your shoulder to look for other people to talk to, that's the time that you need to disengage yourself politely. And I'm sure you have no problem doing that.
Okay.
Number three is the traditional one. If someone else has his arm folded across him, usually it is a sign of being defensive. Now, you need to calibrate that a little bit, because for certain culture, folding your arms in front of your chest is a sign of respect.
Oh.
Not aggression.
It's very
interesting, because I actually learned this from the Middle East. In some culture, this is a body language to actually say that I should keep quiet, I should listen to you, I should not talk too much. But I think in Asia, this is usually a sign of being defensive or even aggression. So calibrate your body language properly. And I think in networking, very important, we need to observe what we call a social distance. A social distance is actually a meters apart from each other. It's exactly the length of two hands reaching out, shaking hands. So never get closer than that, because that will be a personal space.
Okay.
So always maintain your social space, which is a meter apart from each other.
And that, again, is probably a very Asian thing, because I guess, like for some Westerners, they tend to come a little closer?
Yes, and that is where we have a clash of culture, because if an Asian walks into a networking that is predominantly occupied by expats or Westerners, they used to hug and kiss now. The thing is that we Asians, we are not used to it. So when we go to an event like this, we feel that we are an outsider. These people are also close, but maybe it's their culture, but we just feel very, very left out. So we've got to calibrate our mindset whenever it comes to culture. And people like me, I always merge with the group. When I see the group is friendly, everybody stay close, I stay close. But if I sense that the energy is everybody very cordial, very, very professional in the wrong way, I will mirror themselves as well.
I see.
Mirroring is the best body language to establish rapport. So if the person likes to put one hand on the shoulder, sometimes you can subtly mirror that as well. And somehow you manage to build better rapport than someone who don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, what makes good networking etiquette overall, I guess?
I said one last week is that never give up your name card without being asked. I think that is to elevate yourself, to build yourself a brand that whenever people ask for it, then you give it. And number two is, whenever you receive a name card, do not write immediately at the back of his card, because that would be a sign of disrespect. Yeah, especially to the Japanese. It's really like an insult. All right. Number three is, the meeting when you got your name card, always try to remember the person's look and attach the picture to the name card itself, because afterwards when you follow up, you know which category you usually put them on. Now, I never put their name on my mailing list without asking for permission.
I see.
It's very rude, because how many times have you given your card and the next thing you know, you're on his mailing list?
Right.
And that is really, really bad, because the minute when he takes himself out of your list, there goes your name card as well. So, yeah. So I think this is really, really good etiquette. And if you do have a lot of friends who are working in insurance or maybe even property line, it's good to help your friend, but try not to pass every name card you collect to friends like this, because nobody likes their name to be floating around, you know, in various markets without putting permission first. So, yes. So you will go a long way. If you practice all this, you will build yourself a very good personal brand in networking, and everybody will want to talk to you. And always be an information provider. That always works.
Okay. And next week, it's E. What's E?
Oh, E. So P will be prepare, M will be manners, and E will be experience sowing and reaping. Now, next week, we're going to discuss things that you can do for others even without getting anything in return. Now, the principle of sowing and reaping, we all know, but
yes,
not many people really, really do that. So next week, we're going to go into some tangible actions that you can do in sowing. So if you want opportunities, sow opportunities, and you will reap a lot of opportunities.
All right.
That's what we're going to do next week.
Okay. Andrew Cha from Idea Mart in our business networking series, Race Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.